Right. So this discourse, this maimah, Baalotchet Hanerot, was originally said in 1969, and then it was edited by the Rebbe and published for the 15th of Sivan, which happens to be today, in 1991, 21 years ago. The 15th of Sivan being the day that the previous Lubavitch Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok, was first put in prison, and then he went free on the 12th of Tammuz. So the discourse focuses, as we have on the first page. So first of all, there's the first words of the Sedra. The Sedra of the week, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe le'mor, Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, Daber el Aaron, speak to Aaron, Va'amata elav, and you should tell him, Bahalotcha et hanerot, when you, now that literally means raise up the lamps, but the actual meaning is, when you light the lamps. So there's the whole idea of lighting it until the flame ascends by itself. So there's Aaron's involvement in lighting the lamp. So that's the focus of that verse. Now, if you turn over the page, you've got on the back, you've got a chapter of Mishlei, of Proverbs. So there in chapter 20, verse 27, the bottom of the right-hand page, there's another key verse for this discourse. Ne'er Hashem Nishmat Adam. Well, it translates it in a funny way. The lamp of God is the soul of man and woman. Chofes kol chadrei vaten, searching in all the inward parts. So this idea that the soul is somehow a lamp of God, from Mishlei, from Proverbs, and the idea of lighting the lamp. So that's what the discourse is about. So let's see if we can enter the theme of the discourse, beginning with the Maimon melody. Okay, so looking at the discourse, Bahalotcha et hanerot, when you raise up the lamps or light the lamps, V'itab in Likutei Torah, and it says in Likutei Torah of Rabbi Shneur Zalman, the nerot him haneshamot. The lamp means the souls of the Jewish people, the neshamot. Kamo shekatuv ner Hashem nishmat adam. That the light, the lamp of Hashem, is the soul of the person. V'shivat hanerot dam menorah, and the seven lamps of the menorah, heim shivas sugei b'nei Yisrael, are the seven types of person in the Jewish people, b'avodat Hashem, in service of God. For example, yesh oved ma'ava mashuch kamayim. Some serve with a love which flows like water, which is chesed, kindness. V'yesh me'ahava karish pe'esh, and some with a love like coals of fire, gvura. And it's interesting, normally we would say that there's love and there's fear. Some people serve from love and others serve from fear. Whereas here, the Rebbe has changed it into two kinds of love. Love which is like water and love which is like fire. So the Rebbe Maharash, that's the fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe, in a discourse said, 100 years before this, that means in 1869. The fact that the souls are called lamps, is as our sages say, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, this is something that the sages say in the Midrash. God says, La'adam, Neri b'yadcha v'necha b'yadi. My lamp is in your hand, and your lamp is in my hand. Neri b'yadcha, my lamp is in your hand, Zua Torah. That means Torah. Dichsiv, kine mitzvah b'torah. Oh, as the verse says, the mitzvah is a lamp and Torah is light. So you, man and woman, the Jewish people, you are holding my lamp, the Torah. V'necha b'yadi, and my lamp, your lamp is in my hand, Zuha Nefesh. That's the soul. Dichtiv ne Hashem nishmat Adam, as it says, the soul of God, the lamp of God is the soul of man. Im shamati et neri, if you guard my lamp, ani meshameh et necha, I will guard your lamp. V'im kibita et neri, but if you put out my lamp, ani mechabeh et necha, then it says very strictly that God will put out our lamp. But tzarich lavin, we have to understand. The idea that the souls are called lamps, that's written in scripture, in Proverbs. Ne Hashem nishmat Adam, the lamp of God is the soul of man. Why does, in this discourse of the Rebbe Maharash, the fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe, why does he have to bring this midrash in order to illustrate the whole idea, my lamp is in your hand and your lamp is in my hand? V'gam tzarech lahavin. Another point is the pasuk nema nehavaya nishmat adam. In the verse in Proverbs, it says, the lamp of yud ke vav ke is the soul of man. Or the midrash, where it's shana, when it says shana shama hi necha da adam, v'hatorah hi neri da kadosh baruch hu, puts it slightly differently. The neshama is the lamp of the person. So it's not that the person's soul is God's lamp. It's the other way around. The person's soul is the person's lamp, and that's what is in God's hands. And it's the Torah, which is God's lamp, which is in our hands. Okay, so we've got this idea of the souls being called lamps, or the way in which God and the Jewish people relate together is over this issue of lamps. Now, this can be explained as follows. The idea of lighting the lamps, which the Seder begins, next page. Aaron arouses the souls. That the soul should desire to ascend higher. Until the soul seeks to be absorbed in the essence of the infinite. So, now, why do we need to have Aaron arousing us? Even though this desire to rise higher and to be absorbed in godliness is the very nature of the soul, k'mavor b'tanya, as it says in Tanya, d'hatam sh'aneshamot nikchaim b'shem ne'erot, the reason why the souls are called lamps, hu ki k'mo sh'aner tivo la'alot l'mayla, just as with a lamp the flame flickers and seems to be trying to ascend above, and in medieval science, it explains that what the flame is trying to do is lidabek b'shorsho. The flame is trying to join its root. What is its root? B'yasod ha'esh haklali. There is the element fire, the general element fire, shetachat galgal hayareach, which is lower than the sphere of the moon. So in medieval science, it speaks about this element fire which surrounds the world. And the flame, that's the source of the flame, and the flame seeks to rejoin its source. So that becomes a very good metaphor for the soul in relation to God, because the soul is an expression of God in the person, within the person, and the soul is trying to rejoin its source. Kena neshama hi b'teva aratzo. Similarly, the soul has the nature of trying to reach upwards, la'alot l'mayla, to reach beyond, lihikalel b'mkor chutzva, to be absorbed in its origin. Now, so if the soul has this already, and every Jewish soul has this burning, yearning to come close to God, why do we need to have Aaron igniting the soul? What is that necessary for? Mikol Makom, line 7, on page Vav. Nonetheless, Tzarich she'Aaron yaleh et hanerot haneshamot. We need Aaron to illuminate the lamps, that means the souls. Ki al yedei yiridat haneshama lemata. Because through the fact that the soul descended below, v'hitlapshuta baguf, and got enclosed in the body, mit'alem teva haratzon shebo, the quality of yearning to rejoin godliness is hidden. Yes, the soul in its own inner self does yearn and long to reach upwards and to connect with God. The problem is the soul is so surrounded by material concealments in this world that it forgets this. And that's why we need to have Aaron coming along and arousing the soul so that the soul remembers who it really is. It's interesting. Aaron doesn't bring something new to the soul. It's really nudging the soul so that the soul is able to behave as its original quality, which is bonded to God and focused on God. As it's explained in various discourses, that there are two types of soul. The matamim el zeh shaneshamot d'atzilut nikraim zera adam. There are souls of atzilut. Now, we're aware that there are the four worlds of the Kabbalah. Atzilut is the higher world, and then there's the lower worlds. So, we also hear about souls which come from the world of atzilut, and they are called Zera Adam. They are called the seed of man. V'haneshamot debriya yitzira asiya, and the souls of the lower three worlds, nikraim Zera Behema, are called the seed of Behema. Now, Behema is usually translated animal. Now, what's the difference between them? Hu ki haneshamot d'atzilut, the souls of the upper realm, atzilut, gam of the world of emanation, gam b'yiridatam lamata, even when they descend into the lower world, teva haratzo v'aliyah shebehemu begilui, nonetheless, they still revealedly want to return above. And that's why, v'lechein nichayim b'shem Adam, that's why they're called Adam, man, because of a certain verse, al shem ruach Adam ha'olehi l'mayla. There's a verse which says, the spirit of man rises above. That's from Kohelet, from Ecclesiastes. Whereas v'aneshamot debriya yitzira asiya, the souls from the lower worlds, shehim rov aneshamot, which are most souls, k'shehen yodot namato, when they descend below, mitlabshot baguf, and are enclosed in the body, heim nimshachot acha aguf, they are drawn after the body, v'inyanei olam hazeh agashmi, an aspect of this physical world, v'lechein nikhaim b'shem behema, and that's why they're called behema, meaning animal, al shem, because of a verse, the same verse, ruach ha-behema yoredet hi lamata, the spirit of the animal descends below. So we have the verse in Ecclesiastes, in Kohelet, which tells us that the spirit of man rises above and the spirit of the animal descends below. This is explained not in terms of men and animals, but in terms of two different kinds of soul. Now, in what way, how can we possibly call a soul animal? Although it doesn't explain this here, I think that one could explain this because there's what's called the milui of yud-ke vav-ke. You see, yud, you can write the word yud as a yud-vav-dalad, which yud is 10, vav is 6, and dalad is 4, so that makes 20. Now, then we have a hey. Now the hey can be hey hey, or it could be hey aleph. Right? If it's hey hey, then it's 10, and if it's hey aleph, then it's 6. Then we've got vav. So vav can be 2 vavs, which is 12, or it could be vav aleph vav, which is 13. And then we have another hey, which similarly we have a different number. The six or ten. So let's just write 10 or 6. So if we have 20 and 10, it's 30. 42 and 10, it's 52. Right? Do you see this?
Yeah.
So 20, so following this route, 20, 10 there, 12 there, 20, 30, 42, and this 10 as well, so that's 52. Now 52 is behema, 2 betes, 2 hay is 5, mem is 40, and hay is 5. So that's 45, 50, 52, right? The other way is 20, it's also Ben. That's a good point. The other way is 20 and 6 is 36, and
49.
Yeah, wait a second, something's gone wrong. No. 20 and 6 is 26, and 13 is 39, and 6 is 45. So 45 is Adam. Adam, 1, 4, and 40, right? So it either adds up to Adam or Behema. So that's really two ways of spelling out the name Yudke Vavke. So one way of spelling it out with Hayes comes to the number 52, which is the numerical value of the word behema. And the other way comes to the numerical value 45, which is Adam. So that means every person, every soul is Yudke Vavke. The question is, which way is this Yudke Vavke spelled out? So we have Neshamot Deban, the souls of the quality 52, and the Neshamot of Ma, which are the souls of the quality 45. So these are the lower souls of these Ban, and the higher souls are Ma, are the ones of 45. So that means that there are certain souls which have a different kind of style to them. That there are souls which get trapped in this world, and for most of us, that's our souls. Yes, we're born with a beautiful sacred soul, and as life goes on, this soul is covered over by all kinds of layers. Our animal soul hides it. And different aspects of our lives conceal the energy of the soul. And so most of the time, most people are not in touch with their soul. But then there come other people into the world who are neshamot of atzilut, who have got this extra fire, you know, like Elie Wiesel said, souls on fire. You know, they've got this powerful burning spirituality. I was once, Adin Steinsaltz was, Eben Yisrael, he was explaining, it was a little group of people, and he was explaining something about the nature of a tzaddik. He says, look, you can have a musical genius, you can have a mathematical genius, you can have a moral genius. You know, so the tzaddik is a kind of moral genius. So what makes the moral genius quality of the tzaddik? So the explanation here is the tzaddik has a neshama which is somehow on this higher spiritual level, and therefore it's burning all the time. It's all the time got this intense radiance. And so what is the effect of this neshama, this special neshama? Well, the way that Chabad Hasidut looks at it, primarily it's to ignite other neshamot. Yes, I mean, it's possible to have a concept of Judaism where the role of the neshama is to study Torah, to be devoted to God, you know, and other people don't come into the picture. But the way that Chabad looks at it is that the role of the exalted neshama is to ignite other neshama. That's the Aaron who illuminates the menorah. So that's the neshama of Atzilut, which the higher level soul, which comes in order to illuminate everyone else. Okay, and why does everyone else need illuminating? Because our souls are here, but there is the soul, but it's forgotten its own fire. And if you have a fiery soul which can illuminate our soul, then our soul too will be touched and illuminated. Now, at the bottom of the page Vav, Umavla bidroshim, and it's explained in earlier discourses, that tam shahalat haneirot, the reason why the raising of the lamps, in other words, revealing the nature of yearning to climb higher within the souls, hu al yedei Aaron davka, is from Aaron. Now here it's going to link it with Torah. Ki ba'aron k'tiv, because about Aaron it's written, kashemen atov al arosh. There's an interesting verse from Tehillim, like the good oil on the head, yored ala zakan, pouring down on the beard, zakan Aaron, the beard of Aaron. Now, this might sound a rather uncomfortable image, the idea of having oil poured on your head. However, it's like it goes together with the whole concept of anointing oil. You know, it's something very sacred and special, and presumably people who were anointed with the anointing oil feel good about it. So here is this oil pouring onto the head of Aaron and, as it were, dripping down his beard. What does it mean on his beard? Sheyored al pi midotav, that it flows down to his emotions. The inyan zakan Aaron, and the idea of the beard of Aaron, who hilchot haTorah, the laws of the Torah. And in the footnote, it gives a reference to Hasidic teachings and to the Midrash. Va'al yedei haTorah, and through Torah, Torah or, and Torah is radiance, mitgaleh u'meyir teva ha'aliyah d'neshama, is revealed, and there shines the thirst of the soul to rise higher. Ba'alotcha et hanerot, when you illuminate the soul. So in other words, the path to illumination of the soul is Torah. And that's the way that Aaron brings about this transformation in our souls. He lights the menorah, means through Torah, Aaron illuminates the souls of the rest of the Jewish people. Now we can connect the connection, the Maimer Rabbeinu Zal, with the saying of the sages in the Midrash, Im Shamata et Nehi, if you guard my lamp, which is Torah, Ani Meshameh et Necha, then God will guard our soul. How does that connect with this Sedra, Ba'alotcha et Hanerot, raising up and lighting the lamps? Because ani meshamet necha, the idea of one guarding the other's lamp, is that the lamp of the neshama should be revealed. That means the power of the neshama to seek to flow upwards is revealed. And the idea of the way in which we do that is through shmirat haner de Torah, is through guarding the lamp of Torah. So there we have a kind of a parallel between these two concepts, the idea of Aaron lighting the lamps of the menorah and this double guarding that we have in the Midrash. So in fact, the way that Aaron illuminates the lamps is through Torah. So we've got this parallel of Torah, and which is God's lamp that we have, and the illumination of our soul, which is our lamp, which God has. Which God has. In the Midrash, yes, God says, I've got your lamp and you've got my lamp. So if you look after my lamp and keep it lit properly, I'll look after your lamp and keep it lit. So that's exactly the same concept as saying that Aaron lights the lamps of the menorah by pouring Torah teachings, and we learn the Torah teachings, and then our souls are illuminated. And through that, that's exactly the way in which our souls too become souls on fire. Yeah, to borrow Elie Wiesel's title. But it's, so in other words, the Rebbe is describing the technique. If you're a neshama of Atzilut, how do you get the other neshamot to burn with flames? It is because you pour Torah on them. And the pouring, or like oil. Notice the imagery. I didn't notice this when I was reading the discourse earlier. Oil is inflammable. So you pour oil onto the neshamot, and so the fire starts burning. Yes, you have to be careful with the oil. That's the image of pouring Torah onto the neshamot, and so then the neshamot start combusting. Now, then in Gimel, it continues, Mamshich b'mayma, continues in the discourse of the Maharash, of the fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe. Further question that Tzarich Lavin to understand why there's this interrelationship. Ve'im shamatet nechi, ani mishamet necha. If you guard my lamp, God says, which is, if we guard Torah, I will guard your lamp. Ma yishaychutam ze leze, how do they connect together? Ve'od ve'ad shem tuluyim ze beze, that one depends on the other. What's this interrelationship? So we've seen one level of that interrelationship. Let's see if we can understand the next level. And in that earlier discourse, Umavai Zal Pima de Itabe Midrash, he explains it according to what the Midrash says. Bishut mi nivru'u ele toldot hashamayim ba'aretz. By whose merits were the heavens and the earth created? Ubishut mi hem omdim, and by whose merit do they continue to exist? And the Midrash answers, Bishut ele shemot b'nei Yisrael, by the merit of the names of the Jewish people. Ve'ele b'zchut mi omdim, and by whose merits are the names of the Jewish people? B'zchut ele ha'edut v'achukim v'mishpatim, by the merit of the testimonies, the statutes, and the laws. So there we have an interconnection of three concepts. That the goal, the purpose of the creation of the universe, he bishvil Yisrael, is for the sake of the Jewish people. Vahashleimud Yisrael, and the wholeness of the Jewish people, he al yedei haTorah, is through the Torah. The al yedei sheYisrael mekayimim atariyat mitzvot, through the fact that the Jewish people keep the 613 mitzvot. They come to a level which is higher than they were when they were created in themselves. That's why the soul comes down below and is enclosed in a physical body in order to keep Torah mitzvah. Because through that, mitaleit haneshama lemaile yoter, the soul ascends higher mikamosha aita kodem yiridata than it was before it came down into the world. Vezel im shamata et nehi, and that's why it says, if you guard my lamp, says God, I ani meshamet necha, I will guard yours. Sheshmirat haned haneshama. Because the way in which we guard the lamp of our own soul, he al yedei shmirat haner de Torah, is through guarding the lamp of the Torah. Because it's precisely by guarding the lamp of the Torah that our soul is able to ascend to a higher level. So in other words, he's explained it, the kind of the process which is in this. You know, why is it that Torah elevates our soul It's because, in fact, that's the whole purpose why our soul was created, is in order to keep Torah mitzvot. And so it's through Torah that our soul achieves that purpose. And that means that the soul comes into the world, which is a yiridah, it's a descent, in order it could achieve a higher level through the Torah mitzvot that it keeps here in this world. Okay, let's go on to Dalet. Ubea in yam beprotiot yoter. Understanding this a bit more. Yesh lahakdim. Yesh lahakdim dahadiyuk b'mayim mipnei mayhem. Right, so understanding, this is in section Dalet on page Chet. So understanding this a little bit more. Yesh lahakdim, first of all, considering that the yuk v'mayma mipnei mahem, why are they teluyim zebezeh? Why is the soul dependent on the Torah? Ki shamat et neri hu lo rak zeh, the idea that you guard my lamp, which God says to us. It's lo rak sha'adam eino over chas v'shalom al tzibui ha-Torah. Here comes a very interesting concept about our relationship with the Torah. Us guarding the lamp of God is not just that we don't transgress chas v'shalom, the mitzvot of the Torah. It's something more than that. Eile shehu mekayem et mitzvot ha-Torah. It's that we uphold the mitzvot of the Torah. You see, there's a way of upholding the mitzvot of the Torah, even if it's something we can't keep. Laws about the Beit HaMikdash, laws applying to the Kohen Gadol. There are laws that we can study, and we can become enthusiastic about, and we can think are very important, even though we can't actually do them, and we can't actually transgress them. They're not part of our... You know, there's a law that you mustn't do a certain thing in the Beit HaMikdash. Well, we haven't got the Beit HaMikdash yet, and so it's not possible for us either to do it or not do it. But we can study concepts about the Beit HaMikdash and that very concept, and we can explore all the details of it, and so there's a sense in which we are able to uphold the mitzvot of the Torah beyond the question of whether we're actually keeping them or able not to keep them, chas v'shalom. Yes, so it's much broader. V'lechein medayik, and therefore he explains mipnei mahem teluyim zebezeh. This is used here to explain the interdependence of our soul and the Torah. D'zeh sheshmirat haner d'neshama, the fact that the guarding of the lamp of the soul. If we said that depends on the fact that we don't transgress Torah, okay, we could understand that to a certain extent, because if God forbid we transgress Torah, there's a flaw in the soul. But that's a limited way of understanding this relationship. Hadiyuk b'mayma humash shmirat haner d'neshama, the actual emphasis of the discourse of the fourth Rebbe is the fact that the guarding of the lamp of the soul tluya b'kiyum haTorah. The guarding of the soul depends on positively keeping the Torah, not in a negative way, in a positive way. V'yesh losif, and one can add that this is a much broader way of looking at it. That through the fact that we're able to keep the Torah in a broader way by upholding the Torah, that is what guards our soul and gives strength to our soul and gives illumination to our soul. And then he makes a further comment here. Yesh lomar, one can suggest, d'zeh sheshmirat haner, this on line 20, that the idea that the guarding of the lamp of the soul tluya b'neb de Torah depends on the lamp of Torah. Oh, sorry, I've gone ahead too far. Line 18. This concerns particularly the neshama of Atzilut. Line 18 and 19. This idea of keeping the Torah particularly concerns the neshama of Atzilut. What is the neshama of Atzilut trying to do? The neshama of Atzilut has no temptation to break the Torah. The question is whether the neshama of Atzilut wants to uphold the Torah. See, you can have a great soul, a soul on fire. So all he wants to do is keep Torah properly and get a good portion in the world to come. And nothing more matters to it. The idea of Kiyum HaTorah, the way that I understand what the discourse is saying, the idea of Kiyum HaTorah, upholding the Torah, means that you look around and you see, you know what, that people are not keeping Torah properly. Or they don't realize how beautiful Torah is. So I'm going to try and convince those people the Torah is very beautiful. That's what the neshama of Atzilut is able to say to itself. So that's the service of the neshama of Atzilut. For the neshama of the lower level, which is most neshama, you could say that the guarding of the neshama depends on the whole idea of guarding the lamp of Torah, which, since it's inside a body, it's there. It needs to be understood a little bit differently. If you say that the lamp of the neshama and the kiyum of the Torah are interrelated, the question is there regarding the soul of Atzilut. Why does there have to be this interconnection? Of course, the soul of Atzilut is going to uphold the Torah, right? I'm now understanding it differently. Of course, the soul of Atzilut is going to uphold the Torah. The question is for the lower soul: is the lower soul going to uphold the Torah? That's where there's a question mark. The whole phrasing of the Midrash is: if you do this, then I'll do that. God says, for the higher. So the question is: why? Why does there have to be that interrelationship? Why does there have to be that statement in the Midrash? So the question is there for the higher kind of soul. Because for the lower soul, we can understand why the Midrash says that. The Midrash says, you on a lower level are very likely to forget about the nature of Torah. And as a result, I'm telling you, says Hashem, you remember what Torah is, and upkeep the Torah, and even more, uphold the Torah, and as a result, your soul will flame in a beautiful way. Whereas, if you're speaking about the soul of Atzilut, you have a question, because the soul of Atzilut anyway knows this. The soul of Atzilut is burning with enthusiasm. So why does it have to have this interrelationship? Then we get the whole relationship, not only of the Jewish people and the Torah, but also the Jewish people, the Torah, and existence. Val pizeh, since we understand that this whole question is talking about the superior kind of soul, now we can understand how this concept. This is page 10. The fact that the guarding of the lamp of the soul, he alidei shmirat haner de Torah, is through the guarding of the lamp of Torah, is ki eile shemot b'nei Yisrael, because of the names of the Jewish people, the very identity of the Jewish people. Omdim b'schut eile eidut v'achukim b'mishpatim, they exist because of the Torah, all the details of the Torah. The fact that the Jewish people stand by the merit of Torah, who shall yidei kiyum haTorah or mitzvot, he mitalim madrigan alit yoter. They are lifted up to a higher level, and so therefore, so moving to line 11. The Yesh Levi is that this can be understood through something it says in the Zohar, which is quoted in Tanya. Now, it says in Tanya, Kamo she'or haner eino me'ir v'ner chas b'ptila b'li shemen. The same way that the radiance of a lamp doesn't shine, doesn't burn in the wick without oil. If you light a wick without oil, the wick burns for a few moments and then it's gone. You don't get a lamp shining. In order to have a wick burning, you need to pour oil into the lamp and the oil burns. Ki eina shchina shora al guf adam, shenimsha l'ptila, the shchina does not rest on the body of a person, which is compared to a wick, eila al yedei ma'asim tovim, only through mitzvot, shenimsha lu l'shemen, which are compared to oil. Umavoa b'tanya, that explains in Tanya, da hatam al zeh, that the reason for this is because lo dai lo benishmato, it's not enough just to have the soul. Even the exalted soul, which by itself seems to be burning with fire to God, in order for that soul to burn properly, it has to have mitzvah. So, in other words, there is an error that the exalted soul could fall into. The exalted soul could imagine that because it's so exalted, it doesn't have to do anything. It's just there, it's a very exalted soul above. Whereas, in fact, it has to do it, it has to achieve things through mitzvot, and the mitzvot are the inner will of Hashem, and that is what is able to be achieved through the fire of the soul. So, in other words, the soul, through burning, through its connection with God, and its connection with Torah, it comes to a deeper connection with Hashem. Now, what is the way in which we define that? That is in terms of bitul, of selflessness. So I think if we move along to page Yudbet. Now, right. So the thing is that in order for the soul, the exalted soul, even though it's got its own flame and its own fire and it's not concealed by being in the world, but nonetheless it wants to be as close as possible to Hashem. How does the soul achieve this closeness to Hashem? So in chapter 6, which is on page Yudben, page 12, we've got a description of something from the Talmud which may help us understand this. Va'inyan hu. The subject is that we learn in the Talmud, Amru alav Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, he shelo iniach davar gadol v'davar katon. There was not a big thing that he left out or a little thing that he left out. In other words, he learned everything. What is the big thing? Davar gadol ma'aseh merkava. The big things that he learned is the work of the chariot. Davar katan. And the little thing, Havayot de Abaya v'Rava, the discussions in the Talmud of Abaya and Rava. Abaya and Rava were the disciples of Rav, and Rav was a disciple of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and so these are the real discussions which are there in the Talmud. So the big things are Maitse Mekava. Now Maitse Mekava is a very spiritual thing. It's the way in which a person goes into a kind of a very, very deep, intimate connection with Hashem through a kind of early form of Kabbalah, and that leads him to a very, very intense relationship with the divine, really a form of selflessness. The discussions of Abaye and Rava are the discussions in the Talmud that every person, yeshiva bacha, or even a child in school at 9 years old, is going to be learning. Abaye says this and Rava says that. So it explains in the discourse by the fourth Rebbe, Shahatam Shemaaseh Mekava Nikra Davar Gadol Hu. The reason why the work of the chariot of the Merkava is called something great, Ki Al Yedei Merkava, because through the Merkava, this whole mystical teaching, Magia Adam Arochev Al Merkava LeMakom Sheini Yachol LaGi LeSham Mitzad Atzmo. If you imagine the idea of a person riding on a chariot, the person achieves, gets somewhere where he can't go by himself. Similarly with this upper spiritual chariot. The angels, this is from the first chapter of Ezekiel that we read on Shavuot as the Haftorah for Shavuot. The angels carrying the throne and the person, the form of the man which is on the throne, they raise that up to a level which is beyond man. In other words, to a, doesn't literally mean man, it to a level beyond. It's as if we're going through the realm of the Sefirot to a level which is beyond. And the main rising to this level beyond man, beyond the Sefirot, it's through the chariot of the patriarchs, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Because the patriarchs, they were the chariot. Merkavad Atzilut, the chariot of Atzilut. So therefore, let's go on to the next page. So through that movement, that's now page Yud Gimel, through that movement of the chariot to this higher level, there is something absolutely exalted which is being achieved. And so therefore, that's why Maaseh Merkavah, the whole work of the chariot, is called Davar Gadol, it's called something very exalted, Ki Adam Zeh Ampin, because the Sefirot, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yisod, which are called Zeh Ampin, this is something relatively in a state of Katnut, of Tzimtzum, and through the Merkavah, it rises to a higher level, to Arich, which is Keter, to something higher, which is great. So in other words, this is the greatness of the Merkavah. The greatness of the Merkavah is that through the selflessness of the chariot, one reaches something which is infinitely exalted beyond on a very, very exalted spiritual level. Now, that's the great thing which Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was doing. What were the small things? So that's the next paragraph on page Yud Gimel. V'atam shavayot Abai v'Rava. The reason why the discussions of Abai and Rava nikraim devar katan are called something small, even though this is the main substance of the whole Talmud, is because the halachot of the Torah are enclosed in, so to speak, little things. The mitzvot concern physical things. And then in addition, yesh b'chol mitzvah kama pirtei dinim. Each mitzvah has got tiny little details. And each detail matters. You know, it's a matter of, is the mezuzah written properly? So you look at the mezuzah, is it kosher? So it's all a matter of tiny little details. If two letters are touching in the mezuzah, then that needs to be scraped so as to separate the letters. There might be something else, unfortunately, wrong with the mezuzah that you can't even put it right. So it's tiny. You might have to have a magnifying glass in order to look at it. And so many other things in our lives, keeping kashrut and other aspects of life, it's all tiny little details. This little detail, that little detail, often very subtle. So these are the, so to speak, the little details of Torah. And so, therefore, this concept is the difference, line 11, and according to this, the difference between Maaseh Merkavah to the discussions of Abai and Rava, it's really two different extremes. The Merkavah is going out of all limitations to a realm of absolutes, infinity, right? The Merkavah is an image of rising higher beyond the Sefirot to an exalted realm beyond, towards Ein Sof, and that's why it's called Davar Gadol, reaching towards the infinite. Whereas the line 15, the discussions of Abai and Rava is exactly the opposite. drawing the divine will, which is infinite, into little things of the practical halacha of our lives. So therefore, all right, so let's mitz out the next few lines. One second, if we go to section 7, to paragraph 7 on page Yudalev. And it continues in the Maima, another explanation. Shatorah nikhet davakatan. Why the basic study of Torah is called something small is because of the bitul, shehu al shem otzem bitul halacha legabei oen sof hamelubashba. The nature of halacha is that we get a command from the Hashem through the Torah, and it tells us to do something. What's our relationship? Our relationship is the way that a person learns Torah, tzarich liot bebitul, with self-abnegation. Tan l'shoni imratecha. You, God, say the words of Torah, and I'm going to repeat them. I'm going to repeat them after God who reads these words to me. Al derech zeh b'negeh l'hilchot ha-Torah atzmam. Similarly, with the words of the laws of the Torah, they are in a sense of abnegation to the infinite within them. In other words, what that means, that we become, as it were, abnegated. We become small in our relationship with Hashem through learning His Torah. We become abnegated, and it's like Hashem speaking through us. And by keeping the mitzvah, our own self also is suspended, because we don't say, oh, well, this I would have liked to do, and that. We suspend ourselves. That's the mitzvah. Okay, I'm going to do the mitzvah. Now, what it's going to tell us is that it's through this suspension of self that we actually find ourselves. It's through the fact that we, and so this is an explanation why the discussions of Abai and Rava are called Davakatan, a little thing, because we are transcending ourselves. Through study of Torah and through keeping mitzvah, we transcend ourselves. And so now we're on the last section, nearly the last section of the discourse, that's on page 15. That's what it means. God spoke all these things at the giving of the Torah and Shavuot. And Baalotcha, he's explained earlier, which we missed out, that Baalotcha always comes sometime shortly after Shavuot. Umavo b'chassidut, it explains, matan Torah nitan hakoach. At the giving of the Torah was given the power. That when we learn Torah, it's in such a way of lemor, which means lachzor advarim shakadosh baruch hu omer. We're able to repeat the words that God is saying. So it's a kind of a divine, a relationship with the divine that we achieved at Matan Torah. And he discusses the idea that even before Matan Torah, we said, Na'aseh v'nishma, we will do and then we will hear. In other words, we submitted ourselves to God even before the giving of the Torah. But there's an extra dimension that we get through the giving of the Torah, something which is a much more exalted kind of bond with godliness. And if we go on to the next page, page Tetzayin, we come look at the bottom of that page, line 20. Va'bitul ba'ofen, and this kind of total giving oneself over to God is that she'i efshar she'tiyu metziyut ba'alam heifach tzibui HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that we see the world in such a way that it's God's will which becomes paramount to it, to us. So in other words, a sense of total bitul, of total selflessness. Now, with this we come to the last page, the end of the Maimon. V'hinei Hagam shabitul de limud haTorah v'kiyum haMitzvot v'ofen hanal. Even though this selflessness in learning Torah and in keeping Mitzvot, who bitul b'tachlit, is a total self-abnegation. And he described what we missed out, you know, was giving several different levels of self-abnegation. This is the highest level of self-abnegation. Mikol makom, nonetheless, kevan shiYisrael v'kudsh b'richu kol echad, since the Jewish people and God are actually one, lachein bitul zeh eino sholel et mitziyotam, this abnegation doesn't negate our existence. Eila adarabba, but on the contrary, zegufa hu mitziyotam, this itself is the existence of the Jewish people. In other words, by abnegating our reality and focusing on the divine, we discover our own identity. That's why God says, if you guard my lamp, I'll guard yours. Even though the idea of I will guard your lamp is that that the person is guarding the lamp of God, means he's learning Torah and keeping it, means that the person comes to absolute abnegation, which is higher, shelamayla gam yibitul de mekava. That's the interesting thing. In the mekava, the very spiritual person is going higher and higher. But there's a sense in which he's reaching greatness. Who does this practice of the maase mekava? Great tzaddikim. It's as if their greatness is being emphasized. Here we're talking about the way that the individual keeps Torah mitzvah. In a sense, it's the simplicity of the person. Mikol makom ein zeh sholal et mitziyuto, but nonetheless, even though this selflessness in keeping Torah, in learning Torah and keeping it, is a very exalted kind of selflessness, but nonetheless, this does not, it doesn't cancel out the existence of the person. Eila adarava, but on the contrary, meshameh et necha, this guards your lamp. So therefore, by the fact of us bonding with God through guarding the lamp of God and coming to a point of total selflessness in our relationship with Torah, in such a way that we see the world in such a way that the Torah has to be expressed in the world, and that's the only way we can see the world. And if there's something not keeping the Torah, we want to change that. That is what makes our lamp stronger. That's what's guarding our lamp, our soul, and making our soul stronger. V'zeh gam zeh sheperish Rashi ala pasuk. That's why Rashi explains on the verse, Ba'alotcha et hanerot, when you lift up, when you light the lamp, shetehei shalhevet olam me'aleah, that the flame should burn upwards by itself. Da'gam shaliyad ha'neshamot, even though the ascent of the souls, he shehem ba'im l'tachlit ha'bitul, means that they come to total selflessness, mikol makom, nonetheless, hu ba'ofen sheshayich l'nerot atzmam, it's in a way which relates to the souls themselves. Shall have it olam me'aleah, a flame burning by itself. V'hainu, that means, shelimud ha'Torah v'kiyum ha'mitzvot hu b'bitul. The learning of Torah and keeping mitzvot is with total selflessness. U'b'yachad et zeh, gam b'chayut v'simcha. Together with this, also with joy and with chayut, with energy. V'kevun shesimcha poret tzedgeter, Geder, and since joy breaks down every barrier, lachein al yedei simcha shel Torah, therefore through the joy of Torah, v'simcha shel mitzvah, and the joy of mitzvot, nimshachim kol ha'inyanim aruchnayim, all spiritual dimensions are drawn down, v'agashmiim, and all physical things, bli hagbalot, without any kind of limitations. So that means that there is this interrelation between the Jew, God, and the Torah, and that it's through us keeping the little things in the Torah, which often means transcending ourselves in all kinds of ways, that is the way in which we reach a kind of bitul, a kind of selflessness, self-transcendence, which at the same time means that we find ourselves, and that's our real self. And that's the way the soul bursts into flame and expresses the infinity of God.